The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The inquiry into the Omagh bombings enters its third week as testimonies continue from families who lost loved ones in the real IRA attack. The public inquiry was set up by the UK government to examine whether the 1998 explosion could have been prevented by the authorities. Philomena Skelton was one of the 29 people who lost their lives on that fateful day. And her husband, Kevin, spoke at the inquiry and recalled the moment he found her face down in the rubble after the blast.
And I went out and I went in next door to Mr. G's. There's a wee shop that's selling all different types of knickknacks. And I wasn't any more than half a minute in the shop. And so I better go back, because she mightn't have enough money to get the shoes, which she'd spent all right, but I better go back in again. As I turned round to come out of Mr. G's, the bomb went off. The front of the shop was sucked out and I walked out after. Shauna was standing in front of her mother. And I come out, what was left of the door, walked out, and I went in through the window where the one day was in SDKL's, and I found her lying face down in the rubble.
So you found your own wife?
Yeah.
And you felt for her pulse?
Yeah, when there was none. My whole focus turned looking for my daughter, when I thought my daughter was buried underneath her mama. But, you know, when you start digging, some of the things I looked at that no human being should have to look, but
I'm sure
I was there at the wrong place at the wrong time. But, it was just horrendous, you know. And the things that stays with me, the smell, burning flesh. I can't get that out of my head.
The memories still vivid after more than 27 years. We're joined by journalist Amanda Ferguson. Amanda, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
This phase of the inquiry is not really an inquiry at all. It's more to honour the victims.
Yes, you find that the opening stages of inquiries tend to be these sort of commemorations, opening statements and so on. And I think listeners will have heard very moving testimony there from Kevin Skelton, which emphasises the devastation, the pursuit of truth, the challenges that families face. And I think it also highlights how important it is that the Wave Trauma Centre is on site and there to support anybody who is a witness or sending a statement or giving information. You know, to have that sort of expertise in trauma counselling on site, I think is very important, because, you know, as Kevin mentioned there, you know, some of the very graphic detail about the smell of burning flesh, you know, about the cries of people on that day in 1998. And really what he said towards the end was that he just wants the truth. And that is what a lot of families want. However, different people have different forms of justice in mind.
Now, there are so many stories reminding people, and of course, many of the people hearing this testimony were not even alive at the time of the atrocity. Many were young children and have no real memory of it. So you could be 40 years old and not really know much about the devastation of that day. But when you get descriptions of individuals like Samantha McFarland, who was only 17, a wonderful girl, a volunteer, you know, the best kind of teenager imaginable, who lost her life in these circumstances, it still has the capacity to shock.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's why these commemorations and testimonies and witness statements give families and survivors and first responders the opportunity to highlight everything that they have wanted to say out loud about their loved ones. You know, we heard about, Vida Short, described as a loving mum and a wife and a grandmother, and how her family's life was, their world was shattered after her death. You know, 15-year-old Lorraine as well, Lorraine Wilson, cruelly taken, about her mother being devastated, about her father using a tissue to collect blood from her eye, because that was all that he had left. And we also heard a commemoration to Julia Hughes. Her twin brother Justin described the loss of her as insurmountable. And there was recollections and information about a new student prize that's been named in her honour. So every day of these commemorative hearings, there's morning and afternoon sessions that give people the opportunity to talk about their loved ones, to talk about what they witnessed and what they experienced. And then further into the inquiry, it may well move beyond the Struil Arts Centre in Omagh, where the last couple of weeks have been held. There could be evidence gathered in Belfast, in different parts of the north, in London, because the inquiry does have a secretariat both in Belfast and in London. And I guess how long that takes just depends on what information becomes available to Lord Turnbull, who is chairing the inquiry.
Has Lord Turnbull been commenting on the various accounts, the various testimonies? Because it's very harrowing to listen to.
Yes, he has indeed. You know, it's a very human response that we're hearing from the inquiry chair. He spoke after the Vida Short information about the terrible loss that her loved ones had experienced, and that the children, that Vida's children had said that their father was also another casualty of the Omagh bomb because of his untimely death. And that's a recurring theme whenever people experience trauma and atrocities like this, that the death toll can feel as if it moves beyond the immediate people who lost their lives on the day in question, because in many cases it leads to poor health among family and loved ones. So that can be something that is highlighted as well. And I guess the inquiry gives families the opportunity to put that on record and to put that on note as well.
Finally, Amanda, I should ask you about the cooperation from the government of the Republic and, you know, calls for a parallel inquiry, because the bomb was actually manufactured in the south.
Yes, the attack was mounted from your side of the border as such, but the Irish government has said, because there's no new evidence as such, that it didn't feel that a parallel inquiry from the Irish government was something that they wanted to introduce. Now, the Irish government throughout this has committed to fully cooperating with the UK inquiry. Some people accept that, they accept the bona fides of it, accept that they will cooperate and the pursuit of truth will be foremost in their minds. Other people do not. The DUP leader Gavin Robinson has called for a parallel inquiry in the Republic of Ireland, and even Kevin Skelton yesterday, he was talking a little bit himself about the fact that he doesn't necessarily feel as if the Irish government will cooperate as it says it has, or that it may not get to the truth and so on. But that just shows you how difficult these kind of scenarios are, because different people want different things. Some people would like that to happen. Other people accept the position that the Irish government takes up to this point. But there's going to be further testimony this week and further stories of the type that we've heard today, just a time and again. And again, I can't overemphasise how important the role of the Wave Trauma Centre is in all of this.
All right. Amanda, thank you very much for joining us. If you've been affected by anything discussed, you can contact the Wave Trauma Centre, which provides support for those affected by the Troubles, 028-8225-2522. And of course, the prospect that some of those who planned and planted the bombs may well be walking around the Republic free, because it's likely. That's 27 a bit years ago, young men primarily involved in the Troubles, so they might still be in their middle age and free to walk the streets.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.